Dave Fanning on 2FM.
So, Gwenno, first of all, how's life? I mean, album number 3 now. People know all about you and what you do and who you are, don't they?
Well, I reckon, I'm getting there, I think. It's a funny thing because you disappear for like 4 years when you make an album. Well, I do anyway. And you come back and you see people that you haven't seen for years and they've returned, which is good. And there's more people. So it's that thing, I think, when you're coming from a slightly different perspective.
Yeah.
There's slightly more explaining to do, but not really either. Because as soon as you start playing live and do music, it's all those barriers fall down, you know?
Okay, well, I was going to ask about Gwenno Live. What is the Gwenno experience there on stage? Like, who's in the band and what kind of music do you play? I mean, like having listened now to the third album, I mean, like, there's a bit of everything in there in some ways, you know?
Yeah.
And straightforward pop music as well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we are really influenced by quite a few different genres. There's a bit of, I guess there's a folk influence there just because I'm coming from a Cornish and Welsh language perspective and those influences are there. There's a bit of krautrock in there as well. There's a little bit of new wave in there. So there's quite an eclectic mix of music, and then the lineup is I'm on piano and keys and singing, and then we've got Tris Edwards on guitar, we've got Lear Parry on drums, and we've got Tad Davis on bass, and we've also got that sort of animation that Tad has made as well to go with the songs. So.
Yeah, and there's that 8mm thing as well. I mean, like, first of all, you didn't even mention psych folk or synth pop. There's both those in there as well.
Well, this is it, isn't it? And I think, it's all pretty open, and I would say those genres as well. I mean, it is. I think we are quite interested in sort of psychedelia and repetitive patterns as well.
Yeah,
and obviously
that's
where the krautrock comes in.
Okay, like when you look at everything, like, I mean, but the first thing obviously when people talk about Gwenno is to do with the Cornish language, the Welsh language, the other language, etc. I mean, you did a programme on BBC Radio 4, it was called Songs from the Edgelands. Now, when you think of that, this was a programme about songs in minority languages. When you studied for that or got that together or did your homework, did you find, wow, there's a lot of this out there, it's not just me?
Well, I've always known that, you know,
because
obviously been raised in a Welsh and Cornish household, you're just aware of that from birth. And what was great about that programme, we went to a minority language music festival in Udine, which is in northeast Italy.
Yeah.
And there's a huge amount of even Italy, as you know, you think, I mean, Italy's such a young country, but it also has not only dialects, it also has many different languages, as you know, like most of the majority of European countries and across the world as well. So I think you know you're never alone, and I think that's the thing that creates the bond as well, is that our differences are the things that we have in common as well.
Do you know, funny thing is that, like, when you say a young country, when you were just about 16, off you went for the first time ever in one of the most exciting things that you could possibly do. I mean, your background, like, was Irish dancing or whatever. You got this gig because of that. I could think of a million people who have a background of Irish dancing and would kill for it. The it I'm talking about is everything from Lord of the Dance to Feet of Flames, whatever it was called, right out of everything. So, first of all, like, I'd love to ask you questions about what it was like doing Lord of the Dance and all the rest, but I'm sure you signed a few NDAs, did you?
Well, you know what? It was a really good experience. And I, you know, as a 16-year-old, and I'd always done Irish dancing since I was 5, like so many people. And it just was this ridiculous opportunity, really. Something you'd always done for like 50p on a Friday night, walking through the rain to get to class. And then all of a sudden you can make a living and travel the world. So
fantastic.
It was fantastic. And it was loads of people my own age and we traveled around the world. So, I mean, I can't complain at all. And it gave me a lot of confidence in how things that seem marginal can become phenomenons, you know. That was the biggest thing I took from the Irish dancing phenomenon of Riverdance, was he was something that people had been putting years and years of time and effort into in the communities, and all of a sudden it became this thing that everybody understood internationally just because it got a chance to be shown. So it gave me a lot of faith, I think, in audiences, in people's openness to different forms of creative expression and cultural expression. So, yeah, it was great.
Well, your father, Tom Saunders, he spoke Cornish. Now, he also spoke Irish, and he picked up Irish from Radio na Gaeltachta. Did he speak to you in Cornish? Did he speak to you in Irish?
Do you know what? I only speak Cornish to my dad, so I've only ever spoke Cornish at home and then Welsh to my mum. And then my parents, because they spent a lot of time in Connemara when they were at university in Aberystwyth, because they both speak Irish. And for some reason, I never got it, which was always frustrating. So when I went to Feshes, they'd always, you know, tell you the results in Irish first, and I would always have to wait. So I was always like, oh, and I mean, it's such a beautiful language, and it's definitely one that I really, really want to put my mind to learning in the future.
I didn't know something. I mentioned the word Cornish 3 times. I didn't know there was. What is Cornish?
The language?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a Celtic language. It's a Brythonic Celtic language. So it's part of the group with Welsh and with Breton. It's got a lot of similarities with Breton as well. It's sort of the missing link between Wales and Brittany. It's just another Celtic language. It hasn't had the same journey, I suppose, as the Welsh language, not having its own Bible translated or the prayer book. So that's really influenced, you know, in terms of how it's been used from, you know, the Reformation onwards, really. So to a certain extent, it's revived, but it's not a language that ever died. I find it really exciting because there's a lot of creativity involved, I think, in minority languages, and especially where there's a lot of room for different forms of expression. And I think that's the thing I love the most about having more than one language, really.
Yeah, because like you mentioned the prayer book. I mean, like the Welsh language does have, I mean, it is there in Welsh, isn't it? And that really has helped. And also, another thing that would have helped was that the industrialisation of Wales, was that good for keeping the language alive?
Well, it was, because so many people moved to Wales and learnt the language. You know, so people came from all over and moved to those industrial areas of South and North Wales, and they became Welsh speakers, which is something that didn't happen in Cornwall, even though Cornwall was industrialised before Wales. But because of, I think it is this sort of organised religion influence that wasn't there in the Cornish language that I think was very key to the language not surviving officially in the same way and sort of congregationally in the same way as the Welsh language.
Well, with 3 albums now under your belt and the third one getting such good reviews, etc., and like pushing you out there further. By the way, we're talking to Gwenno, 51552 is our text. Language and identity are huge for you as well. It's a passion, much more than that. So I mentioned your father. Let's talk about your mother for a second.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about my mum. Yeah. They get so much airplay. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but she's a Welsh language campaigner and translator as well. She's a member of a socialist Welsh language choir, but she was arrested for vandalising the Welsh office. Now, just tell me about that. I mean, does she lose the temper about it? Like,
this is to do with the Welsh Language Society, it's to do with their campaigning to get Welsh to be an official language in office, early 90s that happened. Yeah. And a lot of mothers got involved. I mean, that's always happened it's happened internationally, isn't it? But it was something that was really prevalent in Wales at the time. A lot of mothers were getting arrested to draw attention to the cause. And I think there's something about that. I mean, I think of a lot about, you know, things like Greenham Common and all the mothers that marched, you know, and even with the miners' strike, you know, women are so prominent.
I was just going to say that,
and I think that there is something about a sort of intergenerational campaigning that's really powerful, I think, because obviously it's about families and it's about, you know, more than one age group. It definitely has an impact, because she was in prison twice, once over Christmas and another time, I think, over Easter. And, you know, we were just kids and we thought it was great because everyone felt sorry for us, and we were just like, well, you know, this is this is a novelty. Yeah. It's fine, you know, and the cause is a really valid cause. You know, you're so involved. But yeah, I'm really proud. I'm really, really proud of it. Because I think when I go out of Wales and I talk about it, people are always like, oh my gosh, that must have been so terrible. It's like, it's a very normalised
yeah,
experience
right,
in terms of getting stuff done, you know.
Well, look at the other stuff that you do. I mean, first of all, what's the Sean Aaron McMahon Academy?
Oh, that was just my Irish dancing school.
That was the dancing school itself. Okay.
Yeah.
And then also
God,
with
your
and also with your sister Annie, I think that's how you pronounce it, you had the pipettes.
Okay, yeah.
Now is the pipettes still a thing? I mean, it's an all woman trio.
Yeah.
And you nearly had a big top hit in 2006, didn't you?
Yeah, it was. I just think I went through a lot of lineup changes, but yeah, it was a band of seven actually.
Oh,
But the women did all the work.
Right.
In terms of having to go around and doing all the promo,
yeah.
There were four boys involved as well. And it was a sort of retro throwback.
Like a doo-wop.
Yeah, it was. And actually, I think that was my form of rebellion, having been brought up in such a Celtic-centric household.
Yeah.
And they were looking for a band member, and it was literally the most English thing you could ever imagine. And I think that was my rebellion for 5 minutes. And it was interesting, you know, because it's a different perspective. And I'm, you know, I am really, really interested in all of the cultures across Britain and Ireland and further afield as well. But I'm interested in the dynamic between the cultures of the different nations and linguistically as well.
Yeah.
So it was really insightful for me to have that experience.
So it's not like that you see yourself necessarily as an academic. It's more like a linguist. Would that be right?
I'm not a linguist because I've never learnt a language.
Right.
So, yeah, and I don't have any expertise apart from my own experience. And it's a very niche experience
It's funny because, you know, sometimes, like, you know, whatever you get from music, it's up to you to get that thing from music. And I get from listening to that third album, which I don't know the first two really at all, but I get a lot of emotion through the songs, even if I don't understand what you're saying.
Oh, that's fantastic to hear. Well, thank you very much. That is the purpose. And I think for me with music, I think that is, you know, it is its own language. And I think that it is just this very, very open and safe space to express yourself in different ways that are perhaps less familiar and would be more difficult to explain perhaps in a conversation, general conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that is the power of music, because we all understand it, don't we? And I think I'm consciously, you know, trying to, you know, I aspire to get to a point where it's just an emotion that you feel, and it doesn't really matter how I'm expressing myself. It's just what you can get out of it as a listener.
Well, what you're expressing as well, like, I mean, if there are themes on this album, like, you know, nature, motherhood and all that kind of thing, gets a Mercury Music Prize Award, fantastic.
Yeah.
You go to the awards, brilliant. I've been there a bunch of times myself. I was on the panel for the first 4 years. But what happened? What happened at the Mercury Music Prize?
Yes, exactly. Well, we all got there and we got into the room. And unfortunately, sadly, Queen Elizabeth II passed away. And so things were delayed.
You think she could have picked a better moment?
Yeah, but I think that I definitely think Mercury's did the right thing in not going ahead with it.
They cancelled
it.
So what does that mean now? What's going to, like, what's...
Oh, it's happening in 2 weeks.
Oh,
so,
right.
You know,
oh, okay, right.
I don't know. I think it's been great to be able to sort of drag it out a bit, you know.
Yeah, because you can go to two parties.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this is my second Mercury nomination.
Oh,
almost,
very good.
Yeah,
I can see the press release saying that. All right, yeah, pretty good for the next
album. Exactly.
You know, in so many ways, you are a kind of a one-woman force of nature, Celtic revival.
Oh, thanks.
Well, it's true, though.
It's the world that I know. It's like I have always seen the Irish and the Celtic Sea as the sort of centre of the universe in a way, and everything revolves around that. And the mythology of it all, the mythology, you know, the sort of ancient mythology between all the countries as well, that binds us together. I think it's a sort of a deep well of inspiration that we haven't, you know, tapped into it enough, and I certainly haven't, and I'm really excited about it. And I mean, I always felt that, but again, it comes from having that experience again with Irish dancing,
yeah,
and
yeah.
just a different perspective that can be understood. And I think particularly with the UK and the way everything's going as well, I think it's, I mean, it always happens, isn't it?
Sure.
It happens in the height of the Industrial Revolution as well, as people go, like, what's the alternative here? What are the alternative ways of thinking? And, okay. And I think it's always...
Yeah, no. I'm just thinking of just going back to the very beginning to finally just say something about, like, you know, with the touring and the Feet of Flames and the Lord of the Dance and River Dance, which you've done as well, and with the dancing. One of the things about it is that when you tour with something like that, it's not like a band where you're one night in one city. You're there for a week. So, like, can I just ask, did you have a good time in Las Vegas?
Yeah, that was interesting. And, you know, creatively, I haven't quite digested that. I'm interested to do it, honestly. It's like, because it was such a culture shock. I tell you what, I lived in Las Vegas and I also lived in Brighton, and I have to say honestly Brighton was far more of a culture shock.
Well, listen, hold on a second. You won't be allowed to write about Vegas, because as you well know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's very true. Yes.
So, I must go to Brighton pretty soon. It sounds great. Listen, Gwen,
thank
you so much indeed for talking with us on the programme today. Congratulations. Just one last thing.
Thank you.
Is that right? What does it mean, the title of the third
album?
It just means treasure.
Oh,
right, okay.
It's the treasure of art in life.
Right.
That's what it's for.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, good luck at the at your second nomination for the Mercury Music Prize.
Oh, thanks so much.
See you, Gwen. Thanks a million. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.